Good morning. Welcome to another week. Today, let's open to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's after the epistles. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, and then we'll come to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start verse 1 to 8. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8. This is from the NASB, excuse me. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore, I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. I don't know if you've ever played a game in trying to figure out what God's will is in your life. When I was a teenager and I would just be shooting hoops, playing basketball, I would daydream in my mind and just play this game of shooting free throws and just shooting baskets. And I would say to myself and sort of to God, God, if I make this next shot, please let so-and-so be my girlfriend. And so I'd shoot and I'd miss, and I was like, oh, it's not God's will, that's why I'm single, you know. And so I'd go to another place and I'd say the same prayer to God. God, if I make this shot, you know, please let her go out with me. And so I'd make it, and then I'd make the shot, and so I'd celebrate, you know, and thinking, yeah, you know, and then I'd have the courage to ask her out, and then she'd shut me down, so I knew there was something faulty about that kind of desire of trying to know what God's will is. It reminds me of the story of a man who was on a diet, and his sort of temptation were donuts. And every day on the way to work, he would drive past his donut shop. And so he said to God, God, if it is your will that I have a donut this morning, please let there be a parking spot that opens up right in front of the shop. And so he came home from work that day. He told his wife about that prayer, and so she asked, well, what happened? And his response was, "What? There was a parking spot that just opened up in the middle, and I found it as I drove around 8 times around the block, and so I had a donut." And so I think many of us, when we're trying to discern God's will, what is God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? I don't think the problem is trying to figure out or find out what God's will is. I think the problem is being obedient to His will. I think the question that we ask is, what we really want to know is not what God's will is. What we would do is we try to bend His will to fit our will. And that's what we normally do. It's like, God, what is your will? What is your will? And we try to bend His will so that it would fit our will, but that's not how it really works. Other times, many of us think that God's will is just a huge mystery. Oh, God's plan and His will is just so beyond us. And we quote, like, His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts higher than our thoughts, you know, as high as the heavens are above the earth. You know, it's like His will is such a mystery. Who can really fathom what God's will is? Who can really understand what God's will is? But the problem is not trying to discern what God's will is. The problem is trying to be obedient to God's will most of the time. And Mark Twain said this, that it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that give me the biggest problem. It's the parts of the Bible that I do understand that gives me the most problem. And so here we look at this passage, and there are three things that I want to go over, that it's very clear what God's will is. Many of us come to prayer meetings, and many of us spend some our quiet times, and we're trying to figure out what God's will is for our lives. Well, good news. This morning, I'm going to tell you what God's will is. I'm going to tell you because the scriptures tell us what God's will is. As we look at verse 3 and 4, we'll go in sort of reverse order here. Verse 3 and 4, this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. It is His will that all men to become saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. He wants everyone, all men, and this word men in the Greek is anthropos, which can be translated as people, anthropos. Anthropology, the study of people. So he wants all anthropos, all men, all people, all men and women, to be saved, to come to the knowledge of truth. That is God's will. And so if you think that God's will is a mystery, it is not. It's that this is his will. He wants everyone to be saved, and he wants everyone to come into the knowledge of truth. This I can't see it being any clearer. For God's desire is salvation for lost people. Jesus came to this earth and his mission was very clear, to come to seek and save the lost. It's not about making us wealthy. It's not about making us happy. It's not about making us healthy. It's not about making us wise. It's about having people come into the knowledge of truth and finding salvation. Though, of course, as byproducts, you know, health and prosperity and wisdom and happiness, those are all byproducts, but that's not what the gospel is. The gospel is, God's will is that he wants people to come to know the truth. And so it's not, Lord, what is God's will? I mean, God's will is very clear. Now it comes an obedience issue. Now that I know what God's will is, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do to participate in God's will? And so Jesus wants us to be saved. This is not an old person's message. This is not a weak person's message. It's not a Western message. It's not just for people who are down and out. It's not for people who just break one of God's Ten Commandments. It's for people who breaks all of God's Ten Commandments. It's for all people, that he wants all people to become saved. And so this is God's will. And then he continues in verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator, also between God and men, and that man is Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. And interestingly enough, in verse 7, if you look at that with me, for this, Paul is writing, for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. Maybe some of you know the missionary William Carey, but it's just fascinating because William Carey, one of the greatest missionaries that the world has ever seen, had to argue to his mission board that God's will was for people to go out and share the gospel. And the conflict between him and his mission board was, the mission board thought, well, if God's will is sovereign, he's going to do it himself, that he doesn't need you. And so I think a lot of us have this idea that God is up in heaven playing this game called eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And so he goes eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and he picks people, and he's like, you get saved, you don't get saved. You get saved, and you don't get saved. And today I'm feeling good, so you and you and you get saved, but you don't get saved. And I think a lot of people have this idea about God that he sits up in heaven, and he plays this game of eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and he decides to choose. But it's very clear that he wants all men to be saved. He wants everybody, so that none would perish, that everyone come into the gospel and the knowledge of truth. And then Paul says, I was appointed a teacher. In other words, God's calling on his life, that he was appointed to go preach this good news, to share the good news, that God wants to use human participation to get this message out. He wants people to do that. And so we're asking God, what is your will? Well, his will for our lives is to get this message out. So it's not an issue of, God, what is your will? It's more of an issue of obedience, that he wants all men to be saved. That is his will. He's called Paul specifically, and he's sharing his testimony that God has called me to share this message, to get it out as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And then, as we go backwards, we go back to verse 1. How does this happen? What is Paul trying to say in this chapter? What is essentially what Paul is saying? And he starts off this chapter in verse 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. He says, first of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. Not just some men, not just men that you like, not just people that you like, not just your family members, not just your friends, but he wants prayers to be made on behalf of all people. And then he says in verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority. I want you to remember the context of when this is written. It's under the Roman rule and the Roman Empire, and the Roman government is notorious for persecuting Christians and killing Christians and being very cruel to Christians. And here Paul is saying, in the midst of that kind of context, I want you to pray for them. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's a government law that I disagree with or have a problem with or even causes me to a point to be upset about, whether it be abortion or other political views, it's really difficult for me to have a posture of prayer for a government or rulers or officials that I disagree with in an emotional bent to. It's difficult. But I'm reminded of what Jesus says is to love your enemies. And so here Paul is reiterating that fact that I want you to pray for your government rulers and those in authority, even though you may disagree with them, even though you may have a problem with them, even though they are oppressing you and pushing you down, even though it's unjust for them to do what they're doing, I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for them on behalf of all people. I want prayers of petition and thanksgiving to be made. I wonder if in our regular prayer life, in our regular routine, how many of us actually pray for our government? How many of us pray for our leaders? How many of us pray for our bosses? How many of us pray for, those things in our regular time? Well, if you want to follow the scriptures, if you want to be true to what the scriptures teach us, that we've got to start incorporating on a regular basis in our prayer lives, prayer for all men, prayer for our leaders, prayer for our government officials, prayer for our bosses. We've got to pray for those in authority over us. We've got to start doing that. So, in verse 2, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. In other parts of scriptures, in Titus and Timothy, it says that he wants the Christians to live godly lives so that there's no opportunity for slander, that we live blamelessly, that no one would be able to malign the word of God because of our lives, that those of us, that they would not be ashamed, that you not be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. And so the scriptures are clear about that he wants us to pray so that we would be blameless, that people cannot point to us, that our lives would be acceptable before men, that we would live a life that doesn't disturb dissension and wrath. And so God's will, how does he want that to be accomplished? What is the foundation of that happening? It's through prayer. Now, I don't know if you've thought about that, but many of us, when we understand that God's will is to get the message out, the first thing that we think about is, what are some evangelism techniques? What are some ways, what are the four spiritual laws? What are some things that we have to memorize? What are some theological backgrounds that we have to understand before we go out? In fact, many of us don't share the gospel because we're scared, because we don't have the background, we don't have the knowledge. But Paul is saying that all starts and that all comes to you with the foundation of prayer. The first thing that I want you to do is pray. And so he starts that off in verse 1 and then he finishes in verse 8. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands. And so he starts with prayer. He says, I want you to pray. This is my will, that all men be saved, and I want you to pray. And so prayer is so foundational in all of this happening. In order to follow God's will, we've got to pray. In verse 8, it says, therefore, I want the men in every place to pray. Now, he says in verse 4, who desires all men. And so I looked that up, and that word is anthropos, which is translated men and women, people. But interestingly enough, in verse 8, as I looked up that word, therefore, I want the men. That word is aner, which actually means males. And I remember in my early Greek classes, that word is actually gender specific. And so in verse 8, he says, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands. And then, after this, it goes through women's and instructions, and it's a whole other thing. But if we focus on here, there's a role that God has given the men. And he wants the men to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but in the churches that I've been to, I could do a quick survey here, but it seems like in many of the churches, it's the women who do most of the praying. Nothing wrong with that. This is not saying women don't pray. It's not saying that. You know, he wants obviously everyone to pray, but he's giving a specific instruction and specific role to men. And he's saying, guys, you've got to start stepping it up here. We're the men that are following my instructions. And he says, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. And for me, that's convicting, because I feel like we've got to get the men in our churches to begin to step up. Ladies, can I get an amen? Amen. All right, thank you. I'll just amen by myself. And this is a side note, has nothing to do with the scriptures, but I think one of the most attractive things that women find about men is a man who prays. Come on, somebody. Anyways. Oh, shoot. We have revival already going on. Yeah. Guys, the most attractive thing you can do is to pray for your women, is to pray for all people. When a woman sees a man who prays, oh, man, that woman will know that brother is with God. And so, as I close this devotion this morning, I just want to read you 1 Timothy 2 from the Message Bible, written by Eugene Peterson. And because the reason why I want to read it is because he's very straightforward. And so 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 from the Message Bible, he says this, and you can read along with your own version. The first thing I want you to do is pray, he says. Pray every way you know how, for everyone you know. Verse 2. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well, so that we can be quietly about our business, living simply in humble contemplation. This is the way our Savior God wants us to live. He wants not only us, but everyone saved, you know. Everyone to get to know the truth we've learned. That there's one God and only one, the one priest mediator between God and us, Jesus, who offered himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to set them all free. Eventually the news is going to get out. This and this only has been my appointed work, getting this news to those who have never heard of God and explaining how it works by simple faith and plain truth. Verse 8, since prayer is at the bottom of all this, and I love how he says that, prayer is at the bottom of all of this. That I want mostly is for men to pray, not shaking angry fists at enemies, but raising holy hands to God. We've been talking about prayer. This year is going to be about prayer. But I hope we understand that what we do is not just an empty ritual, that it is the power for salvation. That when we pray, it is the foundation. It's at the bottom of all that we do. It's the bottom of all that God does. It is the bottom of our relationship with him. It is so important that we pray. And in verse 8, God is calling the men to step it up and to pray. And so let's do that this morning. Let's pray. And before we go into our intercession, I want us to focus on prayers and intercession and petitions be made on behalf of our rulers and our government and our employers and our bosses. Obviously, they need prayer. Everyone needs prayer, but if we want to see God really move in Hong Kong, if we want to see God move in Asia, we've got to ask God to really open up doors and open up minds and paradigms and constructs with our leaders and our government officials. And for many of us, maybe it's our bosses and our employers that truly need God's love, truly needs prayer. And so let's be obedient to his word today. Let's be obedient to his will today. And let's just begin to pray for our government officials, for our leaders, those in authority over us. Let's lift them up in prayer right now.
Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to pray. God, we lift up our government, our officials, Lord, our leaders. Lord, we lift up prime ministers, God. We lift up leaders of the Super 8 nations and the G20 nations, Lord. We just ask, God, that you would just give them wisdom and counsel, God, as legislation is being given every day. And as there are laws that seem to be unjust, Lord, God, I pray that you would illuminate, God, those policies that are unjust and come against you, God. And we pray, Father God, for an abolishment of those rules and those laws and those things, Lord Jesus. Father, we just ask, Father, that you would bless our employers, God. Lord, we just ask, God, that they would be grateful. gracious, Lord, that they would know Jesus, that they would love you, God. And we just pray, God, for your blessing over them. Hallelujah.
Let's continue this heart of prayer as we sing this song together and worship it. So let's worship. Today what God's will is that he wants all people to be saved. Let's start our prayer time with that. That I'm sure that there are people in your life close to you that you know that still are not believers, and so I want to spend some time this morning to lift them up in prayer, and maybe God is just, as we pray, asking you to have the courage to share God with them. Maybe you've been fearful or scared. Maybe you're anticipating negative consequences. But as we pray, maybe the Lord will open those doors, and as you do share, maybe God will give you grace. And so can we just begin to lift up those in our lives that don't know the gospel, that haven't heard, that are not believers, and let's pray that they would one day believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Let's pray for them. What a great time this is to be able to come together and to lift up so many people in prayer. And so let's move to our community focus as we pray for those who are sick. And God is doing things in their lives, and your prayers are not in vain. So continue to pray and continue to push. There are names up on the screen, and so go ahead and pray for them by name. Lift them up one by one, and let's ask God to continue to move in their lives, and let's pray for healing over them. Let's continue to pray for, again, those who are sick that may be on their final stages of life, and there's a very short window of opportunity for them to believe in the gospel. And so let's concentrate our prayers for those who are sick and need salvation. Let's pray for those also looking for jobs, and so let's lift them up right now. Move on to our mission focus, and today is China. And so let's pray for Pastor Sam Kim and his Beijing church plant. And we're hearing great reports of how God is already moving in the midst of them as they start up. So let's pray for their home groups and pray for their family. Let's pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Basaraba's, Leanne Chang, whom we've heard last Sunday, GGR kids, government, and churches. So let's lift them up and ask God to do an incredible thing in China. Let's pray for China right now.
Father, we just thank you for what you're doing in mainland China. God, we just pray in the midst of persecution, Lord Jesus, that you would open up doors, God, for your gospel to go forth. God, we pray that the gospel will go forth. God, we pray for Sam Kim, Lord. I pray that you would bring people to hear your word. God, I pray that people would hear that God is on the move in their place, God.
Let's lift up our SP staff and the elder board and the missions committee, that God would give them direction on making great decisions that are honoring to God and that are righteous. And so let's really lift up our leaders, our staff, our elder board, and our missions committee. Lift up Phoebe Ministry and the Korean Church, and whom we have a relationship with, that God would truly bless Pastor Solomon and the sisters there. And so let's lift up Phoebe Ministry and the Korean Church, that God would use them to spread the gospel to the Korean community here. And so let's lift up those ministries. Let's lift up our house churches that are meeting today. Let's ask God to be with the conversations and the discussions, that they would be able to serve one another, love one another, carry each other's burdens, and live out the scriptures. And so let's lift up the leaders, and let's pray for Long Kwai Fong, OP, Carborside, Star Street, and Seymour's actually meeting tomorrow. But let's just lift them up today. Father, we thank you for this incredible privilege to participate and join you in what you're doing with people in our community, with our government officials, Lord. And we just ask, God, that that your word today would truly convict our spirit, God, that we would lift up prayers everywhere for all people, Lord. And God, we pray that all people would come to know the truth and into salvation. We just thank you for this opportunity. Would you hear our prayers today? Would you hear our hearts, oh God? Awaken us from our slumber. And Lord, we thank you that you are alive, and would you be alive in our hearts this morning as we go out to work, as we go out to different areas of this city. God, may your light go before us and go with us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Continue to pray for salvation this morning as you spend some time with the Lord. Continue to intercede and lift up prayers and petitions for all people. And just have a wonderful time, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow at morning prayer.